Cubbies remain up on the Padres 2-1, day one of the wild card round in Major League Baseball playoffs. The Tigers beat Cleveland earlier today, 2-1 final. Skubal had 14 strikeouts for the Tigers today, a career high. What a day to do it in game one of the wild card. Of course, these are best of three series, so the Blue Jay fans will be watching the Yankees and the Red Sox, and we apologize to Britton Gray to pull him away from his Cubs game to bring you up to date on the very latest on the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Britton, over here, bud. Over here. Don't make me turn the TV off.
Kittredge looks like he should throw knuckleballs, eh?
Doesn't he look like a knuckleball thrower?
What, because he has a beard, or?
I don't know. He just looks like, well, in the locker.
He's got a,
yes, locker.
A little round. But
his delivery, too, it looks. Not enough knuckleballers out there. Bring back the knuckleball.
Was it R.A. Dickey back in the day for the Blue Jays?
You know, Locker, I'm sick of you putting guys with beards into this box. Only throw knuckleballs. Must be a Viking if you're Philippe Gagnon. This box you're putting us with the beards in.
That Gagnon doesn't look like someone who filmed an episode of Two as an extra of the Vikings. Tell me that is not something you saw when you saw a picture of him for the first time. It's the first thing I thought of.
But
he spent some time in Norway.
He's French, so no, probably not.
Well, bloodlines cross.
Anyways, Britton, let's go to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Brett Lawther did not participate. He was there. We didn't see a lot of field goal kicks throughout practice. They did some kicking before practice, but it says back injury. Did not participate for Brett Lawther. Okay. So we will. Let's close practice tomorrow. So unless you got that drone license, I don't think we're going to get much of an update until the depth chart comes back on Thursday.
The plot thickens in the kicking game for the Riders, doesn't it?
Locker's baffled by it. It's like would be pitchforks and torches trying to get Brett Lawther finally off after two missed kicks.
I was surprised at there was conversation in the postgame show about Brett's performance during the game on Saturday in Edmonton. But it was not as heated as I thought it was going to be. And when I came in on Monday, I thought, well, here we go. I'm going to have to wrap my head around a whole day where we're just dumping all over the kicking game, because that was essentially what lost the game on Saturday for the Riders.
Yeah, but at least this week there was a lot more things that you could point to in this loss than just kicking, because for a lot of the times we've talked about kicking, it's because Brett Lawther missed four field goals, but they won by 20, so it doesn't really matter. Not this time around.
But this is the game where it actually mattered.
Yeah. So, but there was a lot of other things that mattered in that game too. Trevor Harris didn't have his best game. The defense allowed Justin Rankin to get going in the fourth quarter. There was a lot of other things we can point to as well.
Breakdowns in the secondary. We'll see what the kicking looks like with Campbell.
Quite the kicking room the Riders have, as we were pointing out. Five kickers on the roster.
They have three punters and two kickers. I don't think I've ever seen that many kickers at a practice before.
It's something.
What are we doing here? We'll see if there's going to be a change. Of course, the trade deadline is tomorrow in the Canadian Football League, and there's a lot of people going, would you make a deal for Lewis Ward? But Lewis Ward, he's an Ottawa guy. He went to school in Ottawa. He's been in Ottawa.
Does he want to win? Because he's also not doing that in Ottawa.
But he's also below 80% field goal kicking this year. Like, he's like seventh. So that's where I'm like, oh, I guess that's a slight upgrade, but what do you have to give up would be the question. Let's get to the secondary. Change today at safety. Not the change we were expecting. Kosi Onyeka released.
We got a code of conduct here and high standards on and off the field, and unfortunately, Kosi didn't meet that.
So they're not going to really disclose what that is,
But clearly something took place with Kosi Onyeka.
This is an off-field incident.
So we'll have to see how this shuffles up. But it looks like C.J. Revis goes to safety. Britton, we were all doing the math on the ratio today on going, who and how do they pull this off without Tavon Campbell? Have you figured it out yet?
Well, thank goodness there's this very clear and concise rule in the CFL about an American being able to come on for a Canadian for a certain amount of snaps. It's very clear. We won't have to worry about counting snaps or anything.
But is that what you think it's going to go?
I think so.
From what I saw, the nationalized American rule?
From when they went out there for the team drills, all he saw was out there with the starting defensive line at defensive tackle, not Micah Johnson. So that's where I think they're going to go. Let the rookie play the defensive tackle spot, hold it down, then have Micah Johnson come in with the rotation. Because it's 23 snaps, 25, yeah, whatever it is. I think that's where they're going right now because they didn't make any other moves that would indicate something else. Kerfala Exume was out there, but Marcus Sells, I think it's a vet day.
Well, when you think about this now, this nationalized American rule, when they brought it in, I hated every second of it. I just said, if you're going to do the nationalized American, make it, if the player, an American player is on the team for 5 years, whatever, designate them as a Canadian
rather than
not worry about how many snaps they have to do and stuff like that. It's just ridiculous and convoluted. But the way they go around that is Micah Johnson doesn't have to play like Ali Saad. They can also have Benoit Marion fill in a couple of snaps to reduce how many times Micah Johnson's snap count counts. Micah Johnson and Benoit Marion are on the field at the same time. That doesn't count. If Micah Johnson and Ali Saad are on the field, that won't count as a snap. It's only if those Canadians aren't on the field. So there's a bunch of different ways around it. It's convoluted. It's dumb. They should scrap this rule a long time ago. But here we are, the depth of the Canadians, especially in the secondary, with three guys out and Kosi Onyeka breaking a code of conduct rule. They got nobody left except for Kerfala Exume, and I don't think Rider Nation wants to see that again, Britton.
No, I don't think so. I put a post that Kerfala Exume was out there for sales, and there was a lot of replies about, oh, no, not again.
So I'm curious, is this something that's on Stuart Johnston's radar?
Absolutely.
As far he's talking about cleaning up the game,
this has been on the CFL's radar. What you're talking about is getting rid of the ratio for the starting ratio.
I'd like to point out that I still don't want them. I still think there should be a Canadian roster rule.
Yeah,
I've
half the roster Canadian. Half the roster is Canadian.
American, it's just
global.
When you field a team, it doesn't matter who's out there. Just field the best darn team you can. And then go play football and get rid of all of this sort of antiquated.
Yep.
Well, they talk about the rules that the casual fan or new fans might not understand. This rule's one of them. When you talk about want to try and increase your broaden the horizons of the CFL, here's another kind of dumb, convoluted, stupid rule the league has that you have to explain to people.
Well, there are things like, people are going, why is Tommy Neal starting in front of Joe Robustelli? The ratio, that is why.
Yeah.
Now, there have been times, like Marcus Sales. What if they are desperate and they do have to start Kerfala Exume instead of Marcus Sales, who's an all-star? Why are they doing that?
I'm not saying the ratio's dumb. Just this one rule with the American.
But with the Americanized part of it, yeah.
But when you're talking about convoluted rules. I bet you he does
that. That's my guess.
That's a CBA thing, though. That has to be in CBA negotiations.
That's why it didn't get announced when he stepped up to the podium two weeks ago.
Now? How long was the CBA? I'm trying to think. It was 21 because we had the strike.
It was a heck of a gong show recently.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Brett Lawther talking to the media every day because he was a CFLPA rep. I'll always have time for Brett Lawther because of that. Every single day during camp, We didn't even have to request him anymore. He just stood there and waited for the CBA question.
That was that was 2021 because that was the year I was up in Saskatoon. We waited for camp to start, wasn't starting. I came back. The night I came back, it was announced. They reached it, so I had to travel pretty much the next day again back up there.
What's the appetite from the CBA side of things, from the players, to maybe adjust some of the ratio rules?
Nope.
They have no... no appetite?
Tweaks here and there. They did allow this one in.
Okay.
But getting rid of the whole ratio,
if you present it to them,
be a strike. We will lose games if they do this.
But if you present it to them from the perspective of we still want to maintain the
won't
you know,
matter.
The strength.
Because then the Canadians will be like, I'm getting paid less because I'm not a starter.
Canadians do make more money because they are starters in this league because of the ratio, and their passport does add value to them. And so it's going to be a battle if they ever went through that, because the PA has to do it for the players, and the players' best interest for those Canadians is keeping the ratio.
Okay. Whenever you add money to it.
Other things we need to cross off the board here from Rider practice. Kean Schaefer-Baker, he's back. Sam Emelis returned last week. KSB is back. When he hit the line today,
he's back.
Flying. He had some celebrations going on. He had
a diving catch.
Oh, that catch was ridiculous. Like, full-on, flat-out dive catch. And then a little smack talk to the defensive backs after. So, Kean Schaefer-Baker looks pretty darn good out there today.
Corey Mace wouldn't confirm that, because Corey Mace doesn't like to tell me his roster moves for the week. But I would assume he's back.
He's playing. Come on.
Yeah.
He took every rep. With that, Thomas Bertrand Hudon, it looks like he is returning.
Oh, I thought that last week too, Jamie. He looked really good last week and he didn't get on. So,
okay. TBD on that. And Stone Cold Tommy Stevens out with a knee injury today.
Oh, so, that's not good. Tsunami. Tommy Tsunami.
Stone Cold Tommy Stevens.
I'm not giving up on Tsunami. Just
have to see that. It'll be interesting. That's a concern, because he's been so good and has been the best short yardage quarterback. There's that. Before we go, I want to mention, you mentioned CJ Revis at safety.
Yes.
Antoine Brooks Jr. comes in at Sam. So that's why we had to discuss the ratio. And boy, could you imagine them? There were times they're switching spots. Sometimes I did notice Brooks Jr. would drop back to safety. Revis would come up to Sam. That's a wrinkle opposing offense has to look out for.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see how it all shuffles out. Depth chart day will be on Thursday ahead of Friday's game with the Ottawa Red Blacks. Jamie Locker with a Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. Coming up next, of course, fantasy football season well underway. It's Tuesday. Britton and I give you our advice on who should you be targeting on the waiver wire before that opens tonight.
I want to say one thing. You two get along during this next segment. There was a lot of
Can I bring up how
yelling.
Many points I beat them by this
yes,
week?
Yes, but get along. Play
I let
nice.
Win because I know.
You let him let me win. Okay.
I let him win.
Play nice.
This is not real
I already
life.
Got him twice this year.
This is not real
life. We'll see what happens come playoffs.
Okay.
This is not real life.
Yeah, it is.
You too.
A waiver wire claims. Who should you be targeting in fantasy football tonight? We'll give you our advice next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Tuesday afternoon here on the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker, Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. As do you want to disclose how bad I beat you, Britton, in fantasy football? Or?
No. It wasn't 50.
It was getting close. Getting close.
Yesterday he was talking about
I needed
you
off Jamar Chase
50 and what he was going to do. And there was a whole plan. It involved horns and streamers. And beverages. All right. Waiver wire pickups. What have you got? Britton, you start.
Woody Marks, the running back out of Houston. He's going to take over that backfield. He is so dynamic. The rookie, he can run. He can catch. He was the running back 6 this past week. Scored a touchdown. If he's available in your league, get him now, because he could be a league winner.
Jamie, you're up.
I'm going Darren Waller. Last night. What do you mean? Ugh. If you need tight end help. Without Tyreek Hill.
He was retired last year.
If you need,
he was making music videos.
If you need tight end help with Tyreek Hill out, he's going to be targeted now. And he showed out last night going, yeah, he's still a baller.
Don't be Darren too critical. Waller. It's against his pick.
Against the Jets.
Britton, your second Second and last pick.
Darius Slayton, the Giants wide receiver. Wan'Dale Robinson is available, too. I like him a little bit more, but he's a little bit more owned. But Malik Nabers is gone. This Jackson Dart kid, he looks like he could be a player in this league. They have to throw the ball. They're not going to be a good team. I expect Slayton to get an increase, and he's a big play threat. He's one of those guys who had one play could get you a ton of points.
All right, 1-5, Britton, with some great advice. Jamie.
Undefeated Jamie and I, Malik Washington, another Miami Dolphin. But here's just a little sleeper running back, all right? Getting a little more action is Keandre Miller with the New Orleans Saints. Keep your eye on this guy. Alvin Kamara has had a lot of reps and a lot of hits over the years. He could be...
The Saints are awful.
Oh, but this, he can do everything. He can run. He can catch out when they're down and he's out there, the little flare out to the running back, those types of things. He is seeing a little bit of an increase.
Okay.
Miller, New Orleans Saints running back. Keep your eye out.
Little help on the Green Zone with your fantasy football waiver pickups.
All right. Now, let me get back to this Cubs game already.
It's 3-1 Cubbies. Come on.
Could we get the Cubs versus the Brewers? And then Britton and Daryl Davis will have to fight. Rider news today.
I bet on that.
No practice for Brett Lawther. He's a did not participate with a back injury. We'll see if that impacts who the kicker is on Friday against the Ottawa Red Blacks. But Kian Schaefer-Baker returns, as mentioned. Wild card round underway in the majors. Detroit got a 2-1 win earlier. The Cubs are up 3-1 late against the San Diego Padres. That's in the top of the ninth. And of course, Yankees, Red Sox a little bit later, and the Reds and the Dodgers. Now, coming up next here on the Green Zone, on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, the Western Canada Pro Hockey Scouts Foundation hosting a event tonight to honor Indigenous hockey players. One of those who will be on the panel this evening, John Morasti, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I did not know this, but Britton Gray apparently has one of those Chicago Cubs W flags. He is running up and down the hallways at Rocco Radio with the Chicago Cubs W flag as the Cubbies take a 1-0 series lead. 3-1 win over the San Diego Padres.
Britton looks like a guy that throws knuckleballs.
More of a slow pitch guy, I think. More of a slow pitch guy. I speak from experience.
He just looked like he looks like the guy that had to bring the beer. Is it cold this time?
Do you know about this? Does anybody you put salt in the like the with the ice or something?
What are you new?
Cold?
Newer,
yeah. There you go. Little tip for all those beer leaguers out there, which you probably already knew anyways. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Still to come, Drew Romand is going to break down the Kirill Kaprizov deal. $17 million per season. 8-year extension with the Minnesota Wild.
Curious to see if he thinks that's a good deal or not.
I think that's the price they had to pay to keep him in Minnesota.
I think that's what it is. That's the Minnesota Wild deal, right? Just based on their situation. They've got room. He's their only guy. You can't lose that. You can't let that guy go from Minnie. So you're going to overpay him, right?
So we'll see what happens when it comes to Connor McDavid's contract extension that a lot of people in Edmonton think are going to be signed in the next week. The NHL season starts for the Oilers next Wednesday, and a lot of people who cover the team believe he's going to be signed before the season starts.
I've been wrong about this TikTok. This contract from the beginning, so We both thought he'd be signed by now.
But yeah. Meanwhile, tonight, the Western Canada Pro Hockey Scouts Foundation on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, celebrating and honoring Indigenous hockey players who have left a lasting legacy. They're supporting three Indigenous charities based in the city of Regina. You can find out more at hockeyscoutsfoundation.com. But again, that goes tonight. In Regina. One of those on the panel, John Morasti. We had Dwight King on, who hails from Meadow Lake. John, you're from Meadow
Lake. What's going on? What's in the water up there with these hockey players?
Yeah, there's quite a few people from Meadow Lake. You know, Meadow Lake really prides itself on the hockey system that they run here. And even the tough guy side of it, there's a lot of guys come out of here. You know, Leon Delore, Mike Ciclinka, the list goes on. But, no, just a good, close-knit community. And like I said, you know, everyone on Friday, Saturday nights is at the rink watching hockey. So it's kind of in our blood, I guess.
John, let's talk about Truth and Reconciliation and the day that we celebrate and the event that you're going to be a part of in Regina. Can you speak to what that means to you?
Well, obviously, you know, a lot of the older guys that we're going to be recognizing are guys that kind of paved the way, you know, and then guys like myself and DJ and Dwight, you know, we're the next generation of guys trying to pave the way for our younger youth. So it's just nice to give them some acknowledgement, you know, and you know, I know the First Nation communities really support hockey. I don't know if you ever really follow much of the Indian tournament circuits and stuff like that, but it's like their NHL. It's, you know, rinks are sold out, and, you know, the people really pride themselves on it. I think it gives us a lot of pride and pleasure to know that we can produce some good players. So, you know, guys, you know, like Jordan Tutu is a big name that's going to be there. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of young youth looked up to him, and you know, and he provided that role modelship for those younger generations. And, you know, we just had to keep doing that and keep growing and come together.
Who were your role models, John, that helped you understand the opportunity that could be ahead for Métis Indigenous hockey players?
You know, to be honest, as a young kid growing up, obviously it was Wayne Gretzky. My role changed a lot as I got older, and then it turned to more guys like Chris Simon and Gino Ogic, and, you know, a lot of the native guys that kind of played my role is who I looked up to. And it was pretty cool, you know, to become good friends with Chris and also, you know, have the opportunity to fight Gino at a certain point in my career. But to have those guys and look up to them and see how they trained and what they had to do to sacrifice to get to the next level is kind of a big thing, you know. And it just shows that if they can do it, you know, we can do it. And same thing for me now. If I can do it, you know, the younger kids can do it. It's not easy, you know. You got to put a lot of work into it and, you know, make a lot of sacrifices and you know, you go through a lot of different things in the game. But you know, at the end of the day, it's worth it. You know, hockey's basically shaped me into who I am today. You know, and the opportunities I get, you know, Shoresy's a big opportunity that I've came across the last 5 years, and you know, never thought at, you know, the age of 43 I'd be on a top hit TV series. And you know, we're actually going to be touring the NHL here starting in November. We're doing the Shoresy Fall Classic and then the Shoresy Winter Classic. So,
oh my good, know, that's awesome.
just those opportunities that presented itself, you know, is all through hockey and the people you meet along the way. And you know, it's, you know, like I said, hockey's a way of life for us. And you know, it opens doors and also closes doors. But you know, it's a ride that I'll always remember.
Not just hockey, but how much is sport? You know, it's part of the Truth and Reconciliation and the statements on celebrating sport and the culture and, you know, elders and everything else that were once in sport and giving back. How important is representation now, John? I don't know. You kind of said my idol was Wayne Gretzky, but I'm wondering, is it bigger now? Does it feel more important now that Indigenous youth see that representation?
Oh, 100%, you know, because growing up as young kids, and it's no secret, you know, our youth are struggling right now with, you know, the addictions and the drugs and, you know, just you know, living in poverty in a lot of communities, you know, so it's our job to give those kids those opportunities to, you know, whether we do these charity events or, you know, bring opportunities to them. You know, I've helped a lot of kids get pro tryouts, you know, junior tryouts. And with the connections that I've made, you know, I'm passing on to our younger youth. And, you know, same thing with guys like Dwight King. You know, I was actually in leadership on Flying Disc First Nation, and I had brought him in to replace my old position as recreation director because, you know, kids, you know, he's a two-time Stanley Cup champion. Kids really look up to him, and, you know, he knows what it takes to get to the next level and what it takes to win a championship. And so, yeah, it's more important now than ever. And the way our world's going, you know, there's a lot of negativity out there. So it's nice to bring a lot of positivity. You know, it's been a dark world. So it's nice to bring some light to it as well.
You talked about, John, your transition from the game, and it seems like things you know, have gone very, very well for you. And that isn't always the case when anybody leaves a professional sport, because you're at a young age, regardless of what your background is. Was there a moment that, kind of a two-parter here, John, was there a moment where you knew you had to pull the pin, and how was that transition? Was it seamless? Was it a little bit more involved?
It's no secret there is a tough transition for all players, you know, to go from playing pro and then moving on to life after hockey. I went through some struggles, you know. I went right out of hockey. I opened to Tim Hortons, and you know, you weren't really prepared for life after hockey. You know, they bring in a lot of excuses. You know, I'm not a guy that, obviously I was a guy that used my fists a lot and took a lot of hits. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're a 100 goal scorer or an enforcer. You know, life after hockey is tough, because it's all you do from a young age is grow up and chase one dream, and that one dream is to play professional hockey. And when it comes to an end, you know, you're not really prepared for it. So,
yeah.
It's really, really important, like I said, to have a network of guys. You know, Ronnie DeLorme's one of the guys that's going to be there. That, you know, to this day, he always calls me and gives me advice, vice versa. You know, if we're struggling, we call and talk to each other. And for my biggest thing is just setting goals, you know, leaving hockey and still chasing goals, because, you know, my whole life from a young kid, I was always chasing the goal of, you know, trying to get to the next level. And then eventually that all comes to an end. It's like, okay, well, I chased all my goals. What are my goals now? And what I've found is, you know, living through my kids and even setting goals for myself, you know, I tell people when I public speak that I'm going to die chasing goals. It's just something that you've done for. And like I said, it's awesome to have these group of guys to come together and to be able to meet the fans and meet other young people that want to do what we did. So I'm really excited to come down south.
John Morasty joining us here on the Green Zone, of course, as he mentioned, on Shorzy. I don't know what I would believe more real. If you told me, like, Shorzy and what happens there, I know it's scripted, I know it's acting. But Danbury Trashers seems like complete fiction, even though it was reality. What was life like with mob bosses and a kid who's dressed
that,
like,
weird son?
What was that like in that lockout year being a member of the Danbury Trashers?
Oh, like I said, my whole career has been a wild ride. I who knows, half the time I think I'm connected with organized crime, because, you know, I played in the Quebec League, the famous fighting league, where there was pretty much ran by the Hells Angels bikers clubs. And then I was in Russia for a few years in the KHL. And the one year I was with the Vitez Chekhov, which was a Russian mob. And then, like you said, the Danbury Trashers that came out of the Netflix show. So, it's been a wild ride. I even to this day tell people that the documentary on Danbury Trashers doesn't even justify it. It was like watching The Sopranos all over again and living it. it was quite a wild season, that's for sure. And, you know, I was still a young guy at that time, kind of just starting my career more or less. But, you know, the way things were operated and, you know, a year later, the FBI getting involved was quite a ride for me, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, to this day, I still talk to Jimmy Galante, you know, AJ as well. I'm kind of in charge of setting up the matchmaking we've created like a UFC on ice where they have fights, where I'm going to actually be leaving right next week to Miami for an event in where the Florida Panthers play. So, but yeah, back to Danbury Trashers, it was a wild place and a wild time. And
that's crazy.
I never knew we had so many tough guys. We were always having to play rock, paper, scissors to see who had a fight next, because there wasn't enough guys to keep up with us.
John, I know that, I don't know if you, did you play with Biz Nasty?
No, I fought Biz Nasty quite a few times, to be honest, but never played with him and played against him, though.
Okay, so who's the better hockey player, Nasty or Biz Nasty?
I'm the real Nasty, and I always told him that.
So yeah. I didn't even want to ask who's the better fighter, because we already know the answer there.
We know the answer to that one. But, you know, Biz, I'm really proud of the guy. You know, he's another guy. I think he's way more popular now than he is when he played. You know, he's taken social media to the next level, and his popularity, you know, the guy is known everywhere. So it's a pretty cool to see him succeed at that level.
How often do people call you Jim?
Jim won.
It kind of took over the nasty part. I mean, I still get called nasty quite a bit, but Jim's pretty much more popular now. I just tell him I don't like to be called Jim One. I just like to be called the best looking Jim.
Nice. Right on, John. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a very successful event. Thanks for your time.
Definitely. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
John Morasty, Jim One from Shorzy, and
Jim!
Next time we have John on, we'll have to spend more time talking about the Danbury Trashers. If you have not seen that Netflix documentary, my goodness.
And KHL. He's got crazy stories about playing in Russia.
So, John Morasty, tonight, they'll be sharing stories at the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, the Western Canada Pro Hockey Scouts Foundation, having an event tonight to celebrate and honor Indigenous hockey players. For more, you can go to hockeyscoutsfoundation.com. Still to come, Rich Pilon is going to join us just past 5 o'clock here on the Green Zone. Still to come, Drew Remenda on the National Hockey League News of the Day. Kirill Kaprizov signs a monster deal. 8 years, $17 million. He was asked how he's feeling at the news conference with Billy Guerin.
I'm big chair.
Excited?
Better be.
The reporter said, "Are you excited?" And Bill Guerin said, "He bleeping better be." Yeah,
I just told him and his family are going to be able to make that work financially. I mean, you know,
but what does this mean for Connor McDavid?
Housing costs.
What does this mean for Kyle Connor?
Life isn't cheap, Jamie.
I think they'll be okay. Drew Remeda coming up just past 4 o'clock on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon here on the Green Zone. A lot of rider notes to get to today. Kian Schaefer-Baker's back. Good news. Thomas Bertrand-Houdon looks like he's back, though he looked like he might be back last week and didn't go.
That'd be good because he can take some reps off of AJ.
Oh, I'd love the way Thomas Bertrand-Houdon runs the ball. No Brett Lawther today at practice. Well, he was there, but he wasn't
thinking
kicking.
That's just an injury, like a back injury.
It says back injury on the injury report. And then Kosi Onyeka got cut. He was released, but Corey May said after practice that it was conduct related.
Does someone pick him up right away?
We'll see. Depends what the conduct was. Out of that, we don't know any specific details on anything, but Kosi Onyeka is one of those depth Canadians, really good special teams guy, but Corey May says they have a code of conduct they live by, and he didn't live up to that standard on or off the field. So that change has a shuffling of the deck when it comes to the Riders' secondary. CJ Revis looks like he'll play safety for the first time this season. Over from Sam linebacker Antoine Brooks will move there. Wild card round is underway in Major League Baseball. Two finals already, and it was Detroit over Cleveland 2-1 in Game 1, and the Cubs over the Padres 3-1 as New York is getting ready for Game 1 of their wild card round against the Boston Red Sox. That starts in a couple of minutes. We'll keep you up to date on the Green Zone, how that one's going, because the Jays will play the winner of this series. And coming up next, Drew Remenda, our NHL analyst, on the big news in the NHL today. $17 million, 8 years. Kirill Kaprizov puts a new standard of contracts on the books in the National Hockey League as he goes to number one highest paid player. Drew weighs in next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.